session number 9428, reel 16.
Mr. Keel, reel 16. You were describing your activities after the first day. On the first day you arrived in France.
Yes. I can remember one quite humorous thing. Well, it seemed humorous to me. In one of the shows, a well-known drummer, is still well-known, but he was very, very big and very coloured, a real black man. And when he said, "What was all that about, sir?" I said, it says that we've got to march another 5 or 6 miles inland. I can't march, sir. I said, but you'll have to march. We've got to get there. Oh, I can't do that, so I'll lie down and die. I said, I'm sorry. He said, can't I have a ride? I said, no. But on what? I haven't got any transport. Well, it's like, I can't march, sir. I said, well, I think I might be able to arrange for you to ride on the baggage lorry. Oh, fine, sir. Good. I said, and then you, having ridden all that way, and all these other poor boys will have marched 5 or 6 miles. I said, when they get there, the other end, where we've got to go, they're going to be very tired, and they will want things done for them. In what way, sir? I said, well, it means that somebody has got to do everything for the other 49. In what way, sir? I said, well, somebody will be on fatigue. Fatigue? What's them, sir, fatigue? I said, fatigue is that then none of these boys will be too tired to go and fetch straw to make a bed. They can't go to there to get some water. So it means somebody's on fatigue and they've got to do all that. I said, and the fatigue will be you. You've got to fetch and carry for everybody when we get the other end. He said, I've got to do all that, sir. I said, you've got to do all that when you get there. He said, I'll walk. And so enough, he did walk. Yeah.
Can you describe what your billets were like when you arrived there?
Yes, it was quite a large building, almost very isolated, but it had been a German headquarters. But prior to that, before the Germans took it over, it had been a nunnery, for nuns and things like that, a religious order. But they chucked out the nuns and whatnot. We found a lot of religious books and things there, and a lot of German stuff. You know, they've been turfed out very quickly, and but the rooms were very spacious, and I could allocate so many men to one room. You know, one party in this section, another party in that section, and so it was really nice and undercover and whatnot.
What was your own personal accommodation?
I was the same as them. No different at all. I did find a mattress that the Germans had used. Well, I didn't know whether the thing was lousy or not, but it looked soft, and it looked softer than the hard ground I should have had to lie on. So I took this mattress and I made that my bed. It was clean, really. I didn't get any lice from it. So that was my bed.
What about things like the supplies for the place?
There was another unit in there. I don't know what the unit was, but I attached myself to them. I said, you'll have to cater for an extra 50 men for their meals, which I have the right to do from War Office instructions. You'll have to do that. And also I want you to arrange pay for 50 men. I will give you a list of their regiments, and you have to work that out. So I got all the food and all the things I wanted from them, and nothing much else about the thing. Yes, I can remember the first night there, the Germans went far away. and some had got left behind, and some were a sort of SAS type. But I was not scared. I never have been scared in wartime. But I thought, as I'm lying on my lousy mattress, I thought I heard sounds. Of course, I was armed. I had got this revolver of mine, and I'd loaded it. And I was wandering around these corridors for anything moving. I imagined Germans would spring out on me. And I got this revolver of mine, and I'm very glad that none of my men got up to go anywhere that night, because if I'd have seen any movement, I would have shot. And they said, "Who's that?" So I'm very glad that nobody got up and walked about that night.
What would you say was the mood of the Stars in Battle Dress company? That's what they
were in the Stars in Battle Dress for. No, I don't think they had much time to think about things. They were doing three shows a day.
Were they fully trained soldiers?
Oh yes, they would be before they. Yes, that's why they were hooked up in the army, conscripts, or they volunteered, whatever. They were just ordered. They had been trained in their regiment, but when they heard that artists were needed for the Stars in Battle, they applied apparently to their commanding officer, and that's how they got into it. But they were trained soldiers, but they'd lost interest in training, and all that was in their mind was performing. Hmm.
Can you tell me the arrangements made for the performances? You mentioned just now that they performed three times a day.
Yes.
How was all this organised?
That was again from the entertainment branch of Second Army. They worked out where troops should be entertained, out at rest, haven't been in action yet. Send a Sergeant Battler show to it. So I got the five shows. Which meant 15 places wanted a show on that day. So that's what they do in three. And it was hard, really hard work for them, because they've got to get their gear all ready, get onto the lorry, be driven to wherever it is, unload, set up their stuff, help to make their theatre, do a show, a two-hour show, pack it all up, get in, travel off, up to the next one, unpack, dress again, and do another show there, then all that lot again, and to somewhere else, do that again. They were absolutely whacked when they got home at night. Home. Well, when they got back at night, anyway. Three shows a day. Normal artists would do one show a day and be tired out, but those poor so-sos had to do three of them in a day.
As the... Well, perhaps you could tell me a little bit about what those shows consisted of. Was there a variation between the five different groups, or did they all do work for the same thing?
No, I would say that four out of the five were just ordinary, like my Green Tree Follies used to be, song and dance and sketches and things like that, except one, the one that with the coloured fellow, Cyril Leahy, that was the band show, Crazy Band Show, and that was all music, crazy music, with little double acts and other little things in it at all. But the four shows were ordinary concert party, variety, except the one.
Were there any individuals amongst Stars in Battle Dress who were actually famous at the time and well known?
Well, yes, several of them were famous at that time, but they were hooked into the army. See, their age group had got them into the army. Oh, yes, I can't remember names very much now, but This crazy band, they were a top line act, and they all joined up together because one or two had got hooked into the army. The other said, "Oh, I'm not going to leave him. I'll join up with him." In fact, one, he was an American citizen, and he happened to be in this civilian show of the dance battle, and he said, "I can't go back to the States and leave my boys behind. I'll join the British Army." So he joined the British Army. That's the one Cyril Leahy was in, the black man. Yes, he was well known, Cyril Leahy, and it's just dodging me the name of this crazy band. So very, very well known before the war. Top Line, I think it was. And some of the other artists were semi-well known. But all artists of standing, all of them. Arthur Haynes, well, of course, Arthur. Arthur wasn't well known, not really at that time, but he was in charge of it. He was an unpaid sergeant, if you understand. And
was he in charge of one particular group?
He was in charge of this other this particular party, which I called the Haynes Party. But one or two in that, I can't remember who they were, but they were fairly well known. So you can guess that nearly everybody in the Sergeant Patrol were semi-well-known people or well-known people. Mm. That's why I was told, you know, when I go backpedal a bit on them, that they're, apart from being soldiers, they are also pros, not used to being bullied about.
Did you find them a well-disciplined group of people?
Yes, I did, except this one band show. Most indisciplined they were.
In what way?
Oh, doing things wrong, getting tight, being late, anything that could go wrong. They were the only ones who did it. I never had any trouble with the others at all, but to these others.
How did you try to get them back to their ways? Did you have to
have to threaten. I couldn't. There was nothing I could do. I couldn't send them back. I don't think I had the power to send them back to England. It would have busted up one party. If there's one missing, it was mucked up, that thing. So I had to shout or something and let it go at that. But it's one or two of them were really naughty boys. Can't remember what they did, but and I know they got a raspberry for me because I had somebody, a colonel down from War Office, to see why I hadn't done so-and-so. They had jumped over me. If there's a complaint, they've got to come to me first. No, they jumped over me and I got a really chewing up for something that they should have done that I told them to do and they didn't do it. And it descended on me. Well, Keel, you should have known better. Yes.
Did you get on with them by and large, do you think?
Most of them, yes. But this band lot, I couldn't. They were naughty boys. I don't really, they put on wonderful shows all the time. I didn't like, but all the others, the Arthur Haynes Party, nice boys. Sir Chess Party, nice boys. All of them, except the band show.
As the Allied front moved forward, pushed the Germans back, did you move forward as well, or did you stay?
No, it all, in my time, I was based at Bayeux, and of course you could radiate a hell of a long way from Bayeux. But anyway, no, all the time I was over there, I was based at Bayeux, and eventually I was lumped in with ENSA. When all the ENSA things came over, I was lumped in the thing where all the tents are with ENSA.
And were they based at Bayeux as well?
They were too, yes. And that's where I was very friendly with the guitar when I'm cleaning windows.
George Formby.
We had tents next to each other, you know, the bell tent. So we used to sit outside, you know, before the show or after the show and chat and whatnot there. But that was Bayeux, all the time until I fell sick with tummy trouble and came back into hospital. When I came back, fell sick again and eventually I had to come back to England. But it was still in Bayeux.
How long were you actually out in France?
I don't know how long, but quite a number of months anyway. I couldn't say 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I couldn't tell you. It all seemed just, it was life.
You came back before 1945, do you think?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes. Because I've been back quite a little while because of this raspberry that my troops and the army sent for me to be replaced. But when I had to tell them all what these naughty boys had done...
Can you remember precisely what that incident was?
Yes, one of the artists in this band show, he had a double bass. Good comic he was, double bass. But it was a trick double bass. Little doors used to open, he'd get out a mug and a bottle and whatnot while they're playing, all in this thing. And once it went wrong, and they said, Governor, there's doors hanging off there, wants some new hinges or something. Well, let's get some hinges. Oh, I can't do that. And something else, and I said, well, get a bit of glue. I said, you'll find shops, you'll find somewhere here in Bayeux that would sell that. Oh, can't do that. And they didn't do it, but they complained about it and overcame Colonel Brown and chewed me up. He said, why didn't you see to this double bass? I told them what to do, where they would get the hinge, where they could get their glue. Well, you should have done it. I said, I'm not supposed to do menial jobs for men. I tell them what to do and they do it. And anyway, I was replaced. And
how did you feel about that?
I was very sick about it, very sick. And I was returned to my unit. But in no time, I was hooked out of my unit again and back into Stars in Battle Dress.
Why was that?
Well, he got some sort of punishment, I expect. Send him back to his duty, send him back to his regiment. And so they sent me back, but in no time.
Do you think they were in the same sort of position as you'd been with the band? Where
they said, when I got back to War Office afterwards, the major there said, Keel, he said, we've sifted through all this evidence. He said, and this department says now that you've had a bloody raw deal. I said, I know they have, Major. I know I have. But nobody would listen to me. You'd listen to the private soldiers. You had a bloody raw deal, Keel. And so they put me on producing shows then for Stars in Battle Dress.
Oh, really?
Yes, but that was nothing much. I just sit in. They knew what they had to do, but I was a figurehead, the officer who...
Is this when you worked with George Formby?
Oh, no, George Formby was in France. I was back in England.
I see.
Yes.
Can you tell me what you did as a producer for these Stars in Battle Dress shows?
To tell you the truth, I don't think I did anything. I just sat there and they'd probably refer to me. What do you think of that, sir? Do you think that's funny? Or do you think that's musical? Oh, I do. I should keep that in if I were you. That was about all. I can't say that I thought out wonderful routines. I didn't. I would just... You've got to have a figurehead. You've got to have an officer. A man, an NCO, cannot do a thing without an officer saying, yes, that's the thing to do, or that's not the thing to do. An officer has got to say yes or no. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't do anything on that. And then, in no time, the war finished. And I think the day war finished, they sent for me again. They said, Keel, there's an ACI coming out, that's an army instructors thing, coming out soon, that as the war, when it finishes, lots and lots of officers will not be returned to their units. They have their choice of staying in the army and taking over other jobs for a year or 2 years or 3 years. They can sign on for extra. What do you think of that? I said, well, I'm in no hurry to go back into civil life. I'll stay on for another year or 2 years. So I signed the paper of that. And in no time came the thing for Norway, that an entertainment officer was wanted for Norway, which I would get a crown instead of a captain. I should be a major. And I thought, well, that's good. I'd like a bit more promotion after all this time. And so I took that, signed on for another year or two, and went over to Norway. And the Germans were still armed when I got to Norway. There was one little thing there. We got enough. All right. Because at Norway, remember very early on when I talked about my Stars in Battle Dress, about the officer, the VC, that Victoria Cross officer, who was my godfather in those days. When I got to Norway, the commander-in-chief, who was very nice, he heard about me, and he said, "Keel, I want you to join me. I've got a short Sunderland flying boat at my disposal, and we're going everywhere, all over Norway, and I'd like you to accompany me with the Norwegian general." And the very first place we went to, we touched down on a fjord. We were going that way, we'll say, to the left, and another short Sunderland flying boat came in from the right and touched down on the river at the same time. And doors opened, I stepped out, somebody I could see way over stepping out of that, I couldn't see who it was, and suddenly a voice boomed out from over from the other plane, "Hello, Keel, what the hell are you doing over here?" And it was my Brigadier Hansen, VC. He could see me, I couldn't see him. And we had a lovely reunion. Yes.
Well, what was your job in Norway?
I had to arrange for all entertainment to come in to entertain all the troops in Norway.
And how long were you over there for?
Quite a while, but I didn't have one single concert party come over. As fast as I wrote and asked and pleaded, they hadn't got anybody to send. They got it on paper who would come, but they never did come. And
that must have been very frustrating.
It was frustrating, yes.
What did you do when there was no one?
Well, I had to do without. So. And then, of course, I fell sick again with this tummy trouble, which I'd had in India, I'd had it in America, I'd had it everywhere. And that laid me low. I was back in hospital again, and I couldn't get better. In fact, then they decided, no, I'm not going to get better over there. They sent me home.
When would that be?
Well, I think that was some months after the war, after I went to Norway. But they were charming people. So nice.
Can you tell me how long you stayed in? You said you'd signed up to stay for 3 years more. What did you do?
Yes, well, of course they had to waive that. They decided that in Normandy I'd been in hospital with this tummy trouble. They had diagnosed it wrong. Everyone had diagnosed the thing wrong. And one other time I had to go into hospital again. And then from the Norway one, they couldn't do anything for me over there. They had diagnosed it wrong. They said it was abscesses on the liver. They said it was this, but not really trouble to operate. But each one was wrong. What it was, and it wasn't until, was it after the war, that they decided that what I was suffering from in all those countries wasn't dysentery, wasn't this, wasn't that. It was a diseased gallbladder. And when that was taken out, I have never had any trouble since. Every country had got it wrong. Hmm. America, in New York, it was everywhere was different. None of them were right.
So you were pensioned out of the army at that point?
I was then. They decided, well, what else can they do with me? So they said, well, you'll be discharged. So I was discharged.
What can you remember? What payments you were given for your services?
Nothing extra. No, I only got my ordinary army officer's pay, which was very poor. No, I got no extra.
Did you receive any decorations at all for your services during the Second World War?
Decorations? No, I only got these other medals, but everybody's got those. Four, wasn't it? I think I got four medals in this last lot. But no decorations at all.
Well, did you regret at all having to leave the army because on health grounds?
Not particularly. I was fed up by then for another almost 5 years again out of my life. And I got really nothing to show for it except a lot of sickness and disillusionment with the Stars in Battle Dress fiasco.
You say it was a fiasco? Why do you think it
was
a fiasco?
Well, I said when they sent me back to England to be interrogated and brainwashed and whatnot, and then say at the end, after it was all over, you had a bloody raw deal. I guess I was glad to get out of it.
What did you do in civilian life?
I dropped back into show business. With one or two contacts I had. But I think I was a little bit mental too, because I took over I was going to be a stage director of a big musical thing at the Palladium and a big thing like that. But I couldn't remember what... I thought I'd got it all under my hat. But no, when it came to the opening night, I was all... I didn't know what to do, and I was replaced with that. I was disillusioned. I thought, so-and-so to it. I'll go back to children's entertainers. So I immediately got a lot of props together, and I started off as a children's entertainer.
And that's what you remained doing?
That is what I remained. And I've been happier doing that than all these other things.
Okay, Tommy.
But I had five years in the Second War, and nothing to show for it. I mean, even the five medals I got, not even my name on them, like the First World Wars, got my name on all those medals, but not on... No, I was a disillusioned man, and glad to get out of it.
Well, thank you very much, anyway.
You're welcome.